Have you ever heard of the term Easter egg as it's used in pop culture? If you look up in the Urban Dictionary, you'll find the word term Easter egg, and it refers to an inside joke, something that's hidden, an image or a message. It's hidden in a movie, hidden in a video game, and it's kind of like, if you catch it, you've found the Easter egg, and you think, that's pretty clever. So here's an example. In the movie Toy Story, when Woody and Buzz Lightyear are in the home of Sid the Toy Killer, the carpet in Sid's home is the same carpet that is in the motel, the Overlook Motel, in the classic horror film The Shining. So if you happen to have seen The Shining, you might catch that little detail and go, that's clever. So that's what an Easter egg is. So the Gospel of Matthew, where our reading for today comes from, is full of Easter eggs. These Easter eggs, although they wouldn't have called them that at the time, all those years ago, 2,000 years ago, but they were references that this Jewish audience, the primary audience that would have been there for reading the Gospel of Matthew, those Jewish people 2,000 years ago would have recognized, that reminds me of. And so many things that Jesus did would have reminded them of Moses, the famous hero, their leader, Moses, the one who led them out of Egypt into freedom, that very same Moses. And so Moses delivered from the top of the mountain. He received commandments from God at Mount Sinai. And those commandments took the shape of five books. We know them as our first five books of the Old Testament. We've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those five books were said to be dictated to God and given to Moses on the mountaintop. Well, sure enough, in the Gospel of Matthew, we've got Easter eggs. Jesus gives five great speeches throughout the whole Gospel of Matthew. And in today's reading, Jesus is sitting on a mountaintop. And he's speaking to the disciples, giving them the law. But Jesus says, I'm not giving you anything new. I'm reinterpreting it for you. See, Jesus, he's a Jew himself. He doesn't come to start a new religion. He comes to reinterpret what they already know through the eyes of love. When we look at Jesus, we see what God is like, and God is love. And so Jesus sits on that mountaintop and gives them this speech, and he says it's really all about love. And so as he sits on that mountaintop and he speaks to his disciples, and they are gathered around, and he says, it's been called this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is giving. It's been called the Jesus' version of the I Have a Dream speech. We know Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. Well, Jesus sits on the mountaintop and delivers the same. It's an alternate vision of what humanity and the world could look like if we lived in love. And so he gathers his disciples around and he says to them, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Salt of the earth, light of the world. And so he's speaking to these disciples and saying, you all, you know, we don't have a good way to translate it in English. We just say you, but he meant you all. Y'all are salt. Y'all are light. And if you pay very close attention, he didn't say you should be salt. You might want to try being light. He's simply stating what is a fact. You all, you who follow me, you all together are salt. You all together And what Jesus tells that little crowd of disciples on the mountaintop 2,000 years ago, he says to you, you all are salt, you all are light. We might wonder, really salt of the earth, light of the world? Aren't we just that little church on the corner in Eagan? Let me tell you a little story about salt. My mother-in-law, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, she didn't keep her salt in the shaker in the cupboard. You know, it was there, but she also kept a bowl of salt next to the stove with a little teaspoon, a spoon in it. And so when she would make pasta or boil water, she'd take a little spoonful of salt and toss it in the water. Well, early on in our marriage, I proudly brought it around Christmas time, my family's offering to Christmas dinner, which was lefse. We have a tradition in my side of the family to make lefse. So I brought the lefse, and I thought, I'm gonna help myself get an early taste of this lefse. It was kind of mid-afternoon. And so I unrolled a piece of lefse, and I put some butter on it, because there's nothing better than butter and sugar on a sheet of lefse. And then I grabbed the spoon from the bowl, and I sprinkled it on, and I rolled it up and took a bite. Ew, it was salt, not sugar. I didn't realize, like I said, early on in our marriage, that my mother-in-law kept a bowl of salt by the stove. Lefse doesn't need that much salt. Lefse only needs the teeniest bit to give it just the perfect flavor. Or if you're making a pot of soup, how much salt do you put in? Just a teaspoon. You don't measure it by the cup, you measure by the spoonful. And so it's the same with those who follow Jesus. We may be small, but we have seasoning and flavor and make a difference for the world, for the earth, salt of the earth. So here at All Saints, here's a way, a small example. You know, we think the things we do, maybe that we think they're tiny, but they're not. I mentioned from time to time, we've got little pantries, which are built by our youth group. They are at the corner or the entrance to our parking lot. Little places where people who have the means to provide and donate food can put it in. Others who need food can take it out. It's a pretty simple process. We might think, well, this is just a little thing. But let me tell you, my first winter here at All Saints, we got a message on the church voicemail. And it said, thank you. I wanted to call and thank you for feeding my family this winter. Y'all did that and continue to do it today as those pantries are used over and over and over again. But that's just one small concrete example of all of the ministries that you all are doing together, whether it's prayer shawls or volunteering at the food shelf, or the Sunday school doing community service projects together, or making blankets for disaster relief camps for children. Over and over and over again, you all are salt. You all are light. It may seem small, but it's not. An emphasis on the word y'all. Jesus wasn't talking, you know, you and you and you. That may be true, but he was speaking to the group of them, saying, you all are salt and light. And together as community, you make a difference. So let me tell you about Haley in our congregation. Haley, when she was young, as a young girl, felt very shy. She would never have wanted to speak in public. She wasn't quite full of self-confidence as much as she perhaps would have wanted to be. And as a young person in this congregation, she participated in the Sunday school Christmas program year after year after year. And she got to be silly, and she got to be goofy, and she got to perform in front of a loving crowd. And she received words of affirmation and support and belonging. And now Haley's in high school, and she stood up this fall, and some of you were here, to talk about what a difference this place has made for her. Y'all are salt and light. She said before All Saints, she didn't know exactly where she belonged, but now she feels like she's a piece of a puzzle and she's been put in the right spot, and she knows she fits in and she knows she belongs. That's what being salt and light as community does. It changes the world. And so as Jesus gathered those disciples up on the top of the mountain, maybe they thought the same thing that you and I think. Well, what can I do? What can we do? We're just a few of us. Well, we're more than just a few of us, and they were more than just a few of them. But more importantly, they were filled with the power of Jesus Christ and the Spirit that he gives us to live out our calling. It's a statement of what is. You are salt. You are light already. And we let that light shine. Thanks be to God. Amen.